This episode is brought to you by CLA.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, May 7th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Talk to economists and they'll tell you that money-wise, Gen Z will be just fine. In fact, they're in a better position than past generations. But Gen Zers don't necessarily see it that way. And that's mostly because many get their impression of the economy from TikTok.
People posting large shopping hauls, items that cost thousands of dollars, right next to someone living in a beautiful large home, right next to someone who's complaining about their job and how they can't afford their grocery budget anymore.
Reporter Anne-Marie Alcantara will join us to discuss how this mixed message could affect Gen Zers' personal finances after the break.
When it comes to planning for the future, taxes and wealth advisory tend to be viewed as two separate conversations, but some things are just better together. That's why at Clifton Larson Allen, they call it TWELFT. Here's Clayton Bland, Chief Wealth Advisory Officer at CLA.
More often than not, all of the decision-making around the tax relationship are predicated on things that have happened in the past. An investment advisory relationship would be something that's looking at, hey, what are your future goals? How can we allocate capital to help you achieve those goals? So when we talk about 12, tax and wealth together, that's really what we provide at CLA with that combination of both professionals. It provides for the necessary information to make the decision that will have the best impact on you, both from a goal standpoint of my portfolio and also from a tax consequence standpoint of when I file my tax return.
Visit claconnect.com for more insights from Clifton Larson Allen. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Investment advisory services are offered through Clifton Larson Allen Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Scrolling through their TikTok feeds might send users a helping of mixed messages. We're headed toward a recession and that the economy is full steam ahead. Both can't be true, but TikTok users aren't sure which is true. Wall Street Journal reporter Anne-Marie Alcantara joins me. Anne-Marie, what are some examples of these confusing messages that TikTok users often see in people's posts?
So they'll see people posting large shopping hauls, items that cost thousands of dollars, right next to someone living in a beautiful large home, right next to someone who's complaining about their job and how they can't afford their grocery budget anymore. So it's very kind of like a whiplash situation where some people are having the best time of their life and then others are struggling and feeling the impacts of the economy.
What kind of pressure do these types of posts put on some users?
The pressure to spend, really. We're used to it on social media of seeing ads and influencers and sponsored posts, that sort of thing. But on TikTok, the feed can just be really endless and push you to wanting that Stanley Cup because you see five videos in a row about it. It's just a constant barrage of content that can feel really overwhelming and like, wow, I could be living a better life if I just buy these things. Me and my colleague spoke to a 23-year-old mom of two in Houston who has experienced this TikTok FOMO. She's bought TikTok popular baby clothes and then also stuff for herself, like eyelash extensions or like a coconut oil mouthwash. And she's also been influenced to maybe quit her job and take a remote commission-based job because she's seen that on TikTok and she thought, maybe that's the life I want to live. And so she's been inspired in some ways by TikTok.
How is this affecting how TikTok users view their own economic situation?
Some have said that it can lead to money dysmorphia, which is a distorted view of your own financial situation.
Money dysmorphia?
Indeed. Yeah, it just means based on what you're seeing and how you feel about the economy and your own finances, you might end up making poor financial decisions.
But can't people judge their own money situation based on what they have in the bank and what they're able to spend?
In theory, but with social media, it's much more easy and possible to just see what everyone else is doing. And everyone else includes your friends, family, and people who don't even live near you.
You spoke to several financial professionals. What do they say about this?
Some say if the distorted views of the economy and people's own financial situations continue, it could lead to situations where people don't save as much. They increase their credit card debt because they don't believe they're ever going to own a home or save for retirement, that sort of thing. And so it could have a long-term impact on someone's financial future.
What kind of picture do these posts paint about the broader economy?
There's definitely economic news, right? Things about inflation, consumer sentiment that a lot of these TikTok videos show and say things about it. Some of them are true. Some of them fuss with the truth there. What really makes people question their thoughts about the economy is when they get that whiplash, when they're seeing people who are shopping a lot or getting a facial all the time or whatever it might be, going to the gym, a fancy gym, and then looking at their own bank accounts and being like, I don't understand how someone my same age is doing that while I'm here.
Oh, we talk about
clipping
this
coupons.
We talk about this a lot in this show, that you should not judge your own economic situation by somebody else's.
Yes. In theory, we all do it, you know?
It's hard not to do that. Some of these TikTok posts might convey a picture of gloom and doom, but when we take a broader look at the economy, the labor market is tight. Many workers have been able to command significant pay increases over the past couple of years. That's not exactly gloom and doom, right?
Precisely. Every economic indicator, especially for young people, shows that it's going to be okay. They're going to have a good time, maybe not the best time, than previous generations have had, even boomers at the same age. But some economists have told me, even though these numbers paint a rosy picture, people may not feel that. They may not see that. You know, it's easier to say you're going to have a good future, whereas you're experiencing your present, and that feels very different.
Okay, so strip away the TikTok influence and people's impressions of what the economy is really like. What is the outlook for this generation of young adults?
So according to the St. Louis Fed, for example, young American adults saw their median wealth more than quadruple between 2019 and 2022. And that's better than a lot of other generations have experienced. And the tight labor market, you know, has meant that, like what some economists have told me, that people have been able to job hop and get better wages than even millennials, because millennials experienced a recession. It's kind of a rosy, hopefully stays rosy picture, but we're not sure where it's going to go yet.
Is there a lesson here that putting the apps away could help people get a more accurate picture of the economy?
Potentially. If people spoke to their friends and family members, I'm sure we could all relate to each other more. I mean, we all go to the grocery store. We all have to buy certain things in our lives and are experiencing that same shock or annoyance, whatever you might be feeling. But people have found that social media, they can find that other people in other states are experiencing what they're feeling. And maybe their friends and family aren't, or they're tired of them complaining. And so social media provides an outlet for them. So ideally, yeah, we could take a break, but people want to feel what they want to feel.
So it seems like it can be easy to be drawn into this, but is there a path out of it that could lead people to more independent thinking?
Yes. What's been emphasized throughout this entire piece and people I spoke to is that in general, your 20s are not a good time. It can feel like you're never going to grow up. You're never going to get the job that you want, the house that you want to own someday, or whatever it is you want to do in your life, the vacations you want to take. And it happens to every generation. So that's something that economists have emphasized. You know, every generation feels this way. What people can do is make sure they don't overthink, funnel themselves into credit card debt that impacts that potential future that they want to live.
That's WSJ reporter Anne-Marie Alcantara. And that's it for your Money Briefing. This episode was produced by Ariana Osperu, with supervising producer Melanie Roy and deputy editor Chris Zinsley. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by CLA.